Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. Dear friends, I want to start out this morning with a question. Which is more difficult for you, handling failure or handling success? Loaded question. It's hard and difficult to handle failure. When you put out that goal, you think about it and you strategize how you're going to obtain that goal, and then you just fall just short and you don't obtain it. It's really deflating. You strive on the sports team. We had one here in Philomath just a few weeks ago. Strive for the championship, but then you get to the championship and you just miss winning it all. You have the job that you're sure and the goal and you think where it's going to go, but then it doesn't pan out. The relationship that you have high hopes for all of a sudden fizzles. Now, the Bible has a lot of encouragement for us, and here at Peace, we talk often about how to handle failure. How do we get inspiration and encouragement from God's grace and Word, and it's there. We lift each other up. One thing that we don't talk about, though, often at Peace, in my recollection of this, how do you handle success when it comes your way? Interesting conversation. Actually, sports teams actually struggle quite a bit more when they have success than they do when they have failure. When you put that goal out there and you strategize how you're going to obtain it, and then you actually do obtain it, you win the championship, that job that you wanted actually goes even further than you ever could have imagined, the relationship just flourishes in a way that you never thought it would. How does a Christian handle success? Have you thought about it? Well, as Brad mentioned in his children's message this morning, big time success in the parable of the talents. Jesus gives this parable, and what happens here is a master goes away and he gives, highlight the first two servants first, he gives them some monies. A talent was money during the first century. And these servants do well. They go out and they double what they have. They are successful. Now, one little point that I want to point out here, the translation here doesn't pick up this well. In the original Greek, it bears this out. It says the way they made their money is that they went out and traded what they had been given. And in our minds, we think Shark Tank We think they went to the stock market and traded a little and were shrewd and made more money. But in the Greek, it says they worked. The word is ergo, ergazomai. They worked with the sweat of their brow. They worked with the one with the five that he had been given, and he doubles it. The sweat of his brow to bring more. Actually, there's a lot in this parable in the Bible about digging in and giving our best and working as hard as we can. Work is a blessing from God. Work is a wonderful thing. And these two servants go to work and do it. And boy, are they successful. At the end of the time while the master is away, one has assembled 10. That represents 10 up there in the altar. 10 talents. Brad mentioned that the amount was, in his studies, about $1,000. Some scholars will say this, $1 million. It's a lot of money. $10 million in today's money. Wow, that is successful. That is awesome. But again, today, we're not talking about success. We're talking about how do you handle success when it comes your way. I don't know. How do you see people around you in the 21st century handling success? When I thought about that, I think that actually most people look at everything that they've done and all that they've accumulated, and they typically handle success by taking all the credit for it. Why not? I worked an extra hour after soccer practice or after basketball practice and did more lines and conditioned. I deserve it. I get the credit. Why not? I was the one in the company that came up with the idea that made the company money. I should get credit. Why not? I was the one who poured into the relation more than that other person had. I should get the credit. And in this world that we're living in, there are a lot of people who actually take credit for things that they didn't even do. story was told a couple of years ago of a college football player at the University of North Carolina. Maybe you read about it. But he had to do a paper for his agriculture class. And so he went online and he found something and he completely copied it off the internet. Well, when the university did, they put it through some sort of machine to see if there's been plagiarism. They found out that what he had copied was from a fourth grade student. What I get from that story is this. If we are willing to take the credit of a fourth grader, we're willing to take credit for anything in life. And the scary thing, the more that we take credit, the more that we think that we're not accountable to anyone. Because we've been successful and accumulated so much, we can do whatever we want. No one needs to check in on us. That's how most people handle success today. These two servants are an amazing example of how to handle success. The syntax. In other words, the way the words are arranged here in Jesus' parable, we need to pay careful attention to the way that they're arranged. When the master comes back, both servants say it this way: "Master, here are the 5 talents that you gave me." The other one says, "Master, here are the 2 talents you gave me." Only then do they then talk about what they added on to what had originally been given to them. See, they give credit to who set them up for success. They give credit to the master. Now, the wicked servant in the parable, the syntax switches. When the master comes back and here comes the wicked servant, the wicked servant doesn't start out by saying, "Here, this is what you gave me." Did you hear what the wicked servant said? He said, "Master, you are a stubborn person." And after some thought, then the wicked servant says, "Here's the talent that you gave me." Wow. This parable tells us how to handle success in the world. Without God and the foundation He gives us with our families, our monies, our relationships, our talents and abilities, we are not successful at all. God gives us the foundation. And that is why in the Lutheran Church we say these words: it is the sole duty of a person to pray, praise, and give thanks to God. That is our purpose. Have you ever wondered how God feels, though, when His creatures, when His people take credit for all the success that they get in this life? It's got to be an ill feeling. I don't know how God would feel about that, but I got a sense that God would feel cheated. The story was told just recently that a man by the name of Gordon Gold invented the laser beam. I don't know if any of you heard of Gordon Gold, but in the late 50s, he invented the laser beam, a very significant invention because it allowed for steel to be cut through with a laser. Now, when Gordon Gold invented this or came up with the original plans, he sought out another man to get some wisdom and advice, Charles Town. He was a professor. And so he asked him how to develop this technology. And Charles Town did something that was devious. Publicly, he praised Gordon Gold. But behind the scenes, he copied everything that he did. And behind the scenes, he made plans to market that technology and get patents so that he himself could get monies and royalties. And he did. Charles Town got all the royalties for the invention of the laser beam. And on his death in 2015, Charles Town, all the obituaries that were produced for him and all the writings that mentioned Charles Town name him as the inventor of the laser beam. Gordon Gould was the one who actually invented it and received nothing. No royalties, no thanks, no appreciation. I wonder if that's how God feels when we don't give Him the credit for our success. You see, I have no doubt that that's how the master felt when the wicked servant came back. "Master, you are stubborn. You didn't give me much, even though he had just given him $1 million potentially. Dear friends, the way that we can give thanks and deal with success in our lives, I believe, is this. We take an inventory of all the successes that we have in life. We count them up. There's 10 up here right now. Imagine you're that servant. And we unpeel the successes and we find out what it was that gave us that success in that moment. Think right now for 5 seconds of quietness. What was a success that you received this last year? You put a goal and you succeeded. Who were the people in your life that were there to encourage you and bless you and assist you? That wasn't by accident. God gave you those people. Who were what were the skills and talents that you used to get your success? Didn't come from yourself. God gave you those talents and abilities. What was the background in your life that allowed you to achieve and succeed? Your family members, parents, guardians. God gave those to you as well. And you know what? The more we unpack and the more that we uncover, we get down to the bottom item right here. The bottom foundation. Your baptism. He who believes and is baptized, we heard, will be saved. You have salvation. Andrew's been given salvation. If we don't achieve anything else in life, but we have that one thing, we are successful. God gives it to us. The week that's coming ahead is Thanksgiving, of course. And in a lot of homes, we gather around a table and we give thanks for what's happened in our life. Now, in a lot of homes, that is not a spiritual exercise. It is just a naming off of things that happened as if they're luck and coincidence and just came our way. Thanksgiving, my friends, is a spiritual Christian thing. It's not a secular thing. It's actually related to the word grace, a gift given to us. Everything that we have comes from God. He gives us that amazing foundation that we build upon, and we work as hard as we can. The master gives. To one he gives 5, to another he gives 2, to another he gives 1. Now, I'm not going to get into why one gets 5 and another gets 1. That's a whole nother sermon. Come for another time. But here's the point. Wouldn't it be okay to be the one servant that got 1? You'd like to get $1 million, wouldn't you? Anybody would like to get $1 million? God is generous to every single one of his children. So this Thanksgiving, count your blessings, pile them up, and then look at the foundation that God has given so that you have them. Amen. Let's pray about that, actually. Lord, our sole purpose in life is to pray praise and give thanks to you alone. Sometimes we do take the credit for the success in our lives, Lord, and we repent today and turn from that. And Lord, we want a new heart to look at how you have given us a foundation for everything good that has come into our lives. I pray for the families here at Peace, the tables that will be adorned with food in the days ahead. May we unpack the success and find the foundation you've given to us, the greatest foundation being your child, a son and daughter in your family. May that be so this week. In Jesus' name.